Please welcome Carl Kruko.
Welcome everyone to the future of mobile app development. To understand this future, I want to look into the past. And 5 years ago, I was working as an iOS developer in a Danish consulting company. And we were helping the largest Danish bank build out one of their mobile apps. In fact, it was their first mobile app. And their competitor had already released their app, their banking app. And so we were under a lot of pressure because they had not yet released to get it out. It was a huge success, the competitor's app. So it was a big project. We were probably about 9 months into the project, and we'd come to the part where we thought we had what we needed. We were ready to release the first version. So we submitted it to the App Store after probably weeks, 2 weeks of testing, bug fixing, testing again, bug fixing. And we were in this phase where you're kind of waiting now for Apple to review your application and hopefully, accept it and it will be published. So we were fortunate. The application was published, and we were all really thrilled about that. And I was particularly thrilled because that very same week where the application got accepted, I had to go on a company skiing trip. It was kind of an annual event. And I believe it was on a Thursday, and we would always go by bus. So we were driving from Thursday afternoon from Denmark to Vesona in Switzerland. And we were, you know, on a bus, having fun, and driving all night. And kind of early Friday morning, we arrived after being a bit exhausted. It was a long trip. And I was packing up my things in the hotel, getting ready to go out, get some skiing. And I got a call. And it was the team back in Denmark. They said, "We have a problem. There is bug reports coming in from users. It's a fairly critical thing. But don't worry, we already fixed it. All we need to do is ship the application to App Store." And then it struck me. I'm in the top of a Swiss mountain. And I'm the only one on this team that knows how to ship, that has the necessary certificates, provisioning profiles, and I'm like this. Now, fortunately for me, this hotel had a Wi-Fi. It was a very poor connection. It took me something like three and a half hours to actually upload, and it would fail halfway through a couple of times. But we eventually got there. One good thing, though, was the Wi-Fi was in the hotel bar, so at least I could sit there for 4 hours and enjoy myself. So I've named this cabin-based delivery. So it's a totally made-up word. I just made it up for the purpose of this talk. And so what might characterize cabin-based delivery? Well, you have one developer on his private machine. And that developer is the only person on the team who knows how to release. For everyone else, the release process is just a black box. It's what this guy does when it's time to release. Your release process is slow. There's this discontinuity where you're developing for months and months and months, and then suddenly everything stops. You do a load of testing, manual testing, and then bug fixing, more testing, and then you ship. You probably have one, two, maybe three big releases every year. And the release process itself is unreliable. You don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know how many bugs are going to surface. And you know what? Maybe your release developer is on that skiing trip in a cabin somewhere. So this is cabin-based delivery. I used to do this. One more thing that I like to include here. This is a totally made-up graph, but its point is valid. It was taken from the Atlassian blog. And it's about the emotional state of the team as they're going through cabin-based delivery. So we start off fairly oblivious to what's going on. You're maybe a bit low because you're behind schedule, and you're developing, and you reach your target ship date. This is when you want it to release, but you don't release. So this brings some urgency into the situation, and you go down the cliff of urgency. And you reach the very, very, very bottom. Oh, we have to ship this thing. We have to get it out. Your managers are pushing you. And you reach the bottom, and you finally say, I think we can do it. I think we can ship now. But this grab wasn't for mobile. This grab was built for general software development. There is an additional thing here at the very bottom. I call it the abyss of Apple. This is where you pray to the gods at Apple, please accept my gift that I give to you so that you shall publish it in your divine application store. And hopefully they accept your gift, and 7 days later, some relief happens, they accept it. But now it's out there. What are the users saying? What do the reviews look like? How many bugs are we seeing? You ascend the slope of relief. Okay, I think we did it. After a few days, maybe you reach the peak of jubilation. We got it. It's out there. We got 5 stars. Everything's great. Until you realize, uh-oh, this is just version 1. And the cycle goes over again. Now, I really like this graph, even though it's fake, because I've felt it. I've been there. I know it's true. This is exactly how you feel. Stressful. Now, this talk is about continuous delivery. So what is it? Here's the quote from Martin Fowler, ThoughtWorks. Continuous delivery is a software development discipline where you build your software in such a way that it can be shipped at any given time. Now, you don't necessarily have to ship, but it is in a state where it could be shipped if you wanted to. And this is usually the distinction between continuous deployment, where you are continuously, automatically pushing out updates all the time, and continuous delivery, where you are in a state where you could push out that update at any time. And if you wanted to do so, it is a smooth process. It is maybe fully automated or partially automated. And there's value in both. So the whole purpose with this talk is I want to convince you that you can do it. You can implement continuous delivery process in your mobile applications. And if you do, you will get the same kinds of benefits that we've seen with other systems. So what are those benefits? By now, it's fairly well established that continuous delivery is a big deal. You have companies like Microsoft, Netflix, Facebook, Google. They've been doing this for years in the web space. And from that, we've learned that doing this, adopting this process and this mindset, will reduce the lead time. So what's the lead time? It's the time from someone gets an idea until that idea is implemented and in the hands of the users, or until someone fixes a bug and that bug fix is delivered in the hands of the users. And of course, if you think about it, if you're batching up everything in big releases, maybe twice per year, well, I may have made that bug fix now. It's ready to go. But it only gets shipped 6 months later, batched up with a bunch of other things. So if you cut that down and do, say, weekly releases or even twice per month, and you're reducing your lead time. And this leads, in turn, to faster feedback, right? Because you're getting stuff out to your customers fast. They get to respond, and you get the feedback from customers fast. You get the feedback from your instrumentation, your monitoring, your insights. There's also faster feedback for developers, because continuous delivery is associated with a lot of automation, automated builds, automated tests, notifications, dashboards. So if a developer makes a change that is bad somehow, that causes an error, well, immediately that person knows that there's a problem, and we could go fix it immediately instead of waiting for a long manual testing cycle. Finally, you just get higher quality, reliable releases. Your release process is reliable because you've done it so many times. You've maybe fully automated or partially automated, and you trust it. And it doesn't depend on someone who might be in a cabin in the Swiss mountains who's unable to release. And of course, there's the whole emotional state that we talked about. And I think one thing is kind of the emotional stability of your team. That's a good thing. But also, I think you're going to increase the team engagement. You know, we love to ship stuff. And if you're shipping more frequently, you are feeling better about yourself. You're feeling better about the team. Also, typically, because you're removing a lot of manual, tedious, repetitive work, that also increases team engagement. So I like to say that releasing, it's like breathing. You don't think about releasing. It's just something you do. It's only once you stop breathing that you feel the pain, right? Releasing is like breathing. Happens all the time, continuously. We don't even think about it. That's where we want to go. What is this? Tesla, yes. It's a Tesla. So Tesla has software in the system which controls, or lets the driver control, I believe it's called the suspension, which is how far in the air the car is relative to the road. And Tesla found out that some of the drivers had been going really fast on the highway, okay, fair enough, but they would have too low a suspension. So if there was a kind of a minor bump in the road, those cars could actually get in serious accidents. So what they did was they pushed out an over-the-air update using their continuous delivery process, which overnight changed the limit to how low this car could go. And I think this is pretty inspiring. If you can do a continuous delivery process in a high-risk situation where you're changing how cars operate, I'm pretty sure we can do it also in our mobile apps. So can everyone raise your hands, please? Everyone, keep them up. Now, if you're not in a mobile project, it's okay, you can take your hand down. But this is a mobile conference, so everybody should be. Actually, the guy on my team is is lowering his hand. Well, I guess you're right. Anyway, keep your hand up if you can say yes to the following statement, all right? Otherwise, keep your hand down. We've automated the builds, and those run on a CI server. That's about half the crowd. We have unit tests and integration tests, and they run in the CI server. Losing a few people there. We automatically run UI tests on every commit or once a day. Uh-oh, this is going down. It's more. We develop tests just as part of the normal dev cycle. It's just how we do it. We do release reliably, flexibly, frequently, and with confidence. Uh-oh. I still see a few hands out there. I want to talk to you guys afterwards. We rarely find bugs in manual testing. Wow! That was designed to throw you off. Two hands. Two hands left. So it's interesting, right? If what I'm saying is true, there are all these benefits of doing continuous delivery. Why do we only see two hands? Well, I think my answer to that is it is just challenging. It just really is. For a number of reasons. So continuous integration just isn't mainstream yet for mobile. We had to learn all these APIs, the iOS, the Android, the Windows APIs. We had to learn the tooling. We had to learn how to design and how to think mobile. And if we also had to learn how to write tests, how to set up provision CI environments, that's just a lot of extra stuff. And I understand why we wouldn't immediately jump into it. Also, there's some practical problems, right? You need those Mac build servers, right? So probably if you have an existing CI infrastructure, that's not a Mac infrastructure. Why would it be? So that's kind of a practical problem. And of course, testing in a realistic environment is really hard. You know, there are all these devices. There are thousands of them out there running different OS versions, running different form factors, different platforms, having different hardware. And we can't really ship without testing on those, right? How else can we be confident that what we're shipping is good? There's the whole Apple review process that we talked about. And in fact, even after we get our app accepted, well, we don't actually have the update out there until the user goes and updates. This is opposed to the web space, where you push out updates, user gets them. Here, the user needs to do something to update. Finally, there's just a lot of complexity around code signing distribution. There are things like provisioning profiles, certificates, keychains, push notification certificates, and just the code signing itself. It's complex. And if we're going to automate this, we're going to have to understand it better. And these are just the technical challenges. In many places, the organizational challenges and the mindset is actually the real inhibitor. But I have an kind of interesting story. The story I started with, the mobile banking team, that was in a bank. You know, pretty conservative place, big change management process, big releases. But the mobile team got put in a special room. They got all the fancy Macs and the iPhones and Android phones. And they get to break all the rules. For some reason, probably because management didn't really understand what mobile was, they could do whatever they wanted. So we could go ahead and set up build servers and release using our own tools. So I think this may be an opportunity. If you're in an organization that's like this, maybe the mobile team can lead the way and spearhead it and begin the organizational change that you need. OK, so what's in it for me? So what's in this talk for you guys? As I said, the message is you can do it. You can implement continuous delivery. And it will take some work, but way less than you think. And if you do it, you're going to get all these great benefits that I talked about. So if you believe me, you're free to go. You just saved yourself 30 minutes. You could go drink coffee or talk to colleagues. But if not, we can dig in, step a level down, and look at what it actually looks like, what it could look like. No one's leaving. Good. So what I'll do is I'll show you an example continuous delivery pipeline so you can see before you buy, so to speak, see before you go and build it. And I'll give you some references to tools, services you can use to get started. So what I want to do is use a sample application. And I'm going to use this app called My Driving. It was released at Build about a month ago. And it's a really it's a talk in its own. There's a really compelling story there. It's using Azure. It's an IoT app. So it's using things like machine learning, Power BI, and the IoT Hub. So interesting in its own. I'm not going to talk about those bits. But if you do want to know more about it, you can find James Montemagno, because he built this together with Microsoft for Build. Or you can go read about it online. What I'm going to focus on is sort of the mobile continuous delivery aspect. So it's a cross-platform app written in Xamarin, Windows, iOS, Android, 70% code sharing. That's interesting. But it's actually an IoT application in the sense that it's using sensors and generating data from sensors and shipping that for processing in the cloud. And the point with the application is you want to track your driving. So you can install what's called an OBD onboard device. It's a small, cheap device. You can plug it into most cars. And that's going to give you car telemetry data. So things like your mileage, speed, kind of engine load, kind of interesting data that you can gather. And then the services analyzing this in the cloud can kind of profile you. So let's quickly look at what this looks like. So I have the application deployed here. So this is kind of a test build where we can skip the auth. So what you're seeing here is kind of the main screen for recording trips. So you're located somewhere. I think this is a simulator, so it's pretending to be and Cupertino. So we're going to record. Now this is saying, you know, you don't have one of these onboard device IoT thingies. So I'm going to just use the simulator here. So pretend that we're going on a trip. So it's going to start counting, pretending we're doing we're driving, and we're doing some engine load and so on. So once you're done driving, you can kind of save it, and you get a summary. We were driving for 10 seconds. We didn't go anywhere. Fair enough. Then we go review our past trips. So James has been traveling. This is mock data, obviously. It's 2 years ago. James has been traveling in Seattle to something called Vivago. I don't know what it is. And you can kind of follow his route here by dragging this slider thingy here. You see how fast he goes. And this is actual data being gathered by this IoT device, this OBD. And then you can go in and switch your profile. This is Scott Guthrie. He's an amazing driver, 98%. I bought one of these devices to bring home. I want to see if I can beat Scott. 99% is my goal. My favorite part, though, is you can go into distance and you can switch to use the metric system instead of this weird mile-gallon thing here, US thing. So that's the application. And this is all written in Xamarin. In fact, I want to just go here and do a change. I want to try out, say, a black color here for the tint of the bar. Just going to see if that looks good. I think it will. We're going to deploy it and run it. Skip the auth thing. Yeah, looks pretty good. You like it? You like it. I like it. So I'm going to check out this. Go to the dark side. It's kind of the theme of this conference, right? Let's push this up. All right, so that's the app. Let's talk about continuous delivery pipeline. So there's sometimes mention of a concept called value stream mapping. And all that means is draw out all the steps that are needed in your organization to ship stuff to your customer. So you can think of it, how does value stream onto your customer in your organization? And they call it a map because you're drawing out a map of all these steps. So let's try and do that for an iOS application. So obviously, you're going to need an idea. And the way you do that, the way you get that improved in your organization is different for every organization. So I'm going to leave that out. But you should draw it out in your org. But if you look at it from a technical side, you have a CI server. It's reacting to some kind of source control change. And then you're building your application, ideally for simulator and device. This is the first thing that's kind of unique for mobile here, is we're building for two targets. And then you run some unit tests and integration tests. Standard stuff, right? What else? UI tests, my favorite. Yeah, you're right. So you can run end-to-end UI tests, and you probably want to run those on simulators and on real devices if you're going to ship this thing. You want to know that it actually runs where the users are. You're probably also not going to ship anything without some sort of manual testing, either because you don't have the code coverage, because there's something you cannot automate, it's just too hard to program, or it's outside what the tool can do. Or maybe it just requires a human. Maybe it's exploratory testing. You can't automate everything. But what you should do, though, is make the process of getting the most recent version or multiple versions of your application really, really smooth for your manual testers. So see if you can automate that. Are we done? Are we shipping? What more? Louder. Submission, yes. The gods. So you're going to have to build and sign for distribution. If you're going to make changes to the UI, you're going to have to generate screenshots, because that's what the App Store requires. The screenshot must match the version of the app. You're going to have to generate release notes, metadata, things like categories for your app. You have to go to iTunes Connect to upload, submit it for review, and then that part. And then if you're lucky, you can then go and publish. But even then, you're not done. Value hasn't flown all the way, because the user needs to update. Hopefully, then, that will enable you to get feedback fast, maybe from your monitoring, maybe from in-app feedback. That will generate new ideas, and the full cycle goes again. What else? Well, we could add things. Static analysis, things you can detect statically. If you find an error, bail out. You could enforce coding guidelines. You could run performance tests and run code coverage reports. You could provision production-like environments for your performance tests, and a bunch of other things. So really, to most people, this is just daunting. There's so much stuff. How am I ever going to do it if I'm starting from scratch today? Well, my answer to that is think incrementally. Think about what is the smallest possible thing I can build today, what gives me value, and is easy and fast to build. And I think that is just that, build. Build it automatically. And if there's a problem, notify. Flash a red light. Scream. If you have already this, then you're started. Now, I want to add something maybe slightly controversial, which is, if you're going to build just one test, what should it be? Should it be a unit test, integration test, or a UI test? UI test. Interesting you're saying that. I was expecting the opposite reaction. But I agree. And the reasoning here for me is if you only have one test, you're getting significantly more value out of your testing if you run it an end-to-end test on the real devices, say, visiting the major important screens of your application and deploying that to real devices and seeing it actually work, as opposed to building a single unit test and maybe testing one class. Now, I know about the whole testing pyramid, and I believe that is correct. But that only applies once you've built up a battery of unit tests, integration tests, and UI tests. And then it tells you something about the relationship between the counts of those tests. You should have more integration tests than UI tests. You should have more unit tests than integration tests. But only once you have them. So I see a lot of companies actually doing this. So the first thing they do is build a UI smoke test. Then you want to do this easy distribution to manual testing. So real quick on automated UI testing, not everyone's doing it. So you could think about it as simulating a user using your application. So what do users do? Well, they perform gestures. They tap, they swipe, they enter text. They walk around. So that's what an automated UI test. It's a program which does what the user does. So in order to do that, you need constructs in your program to talk about views. So usually you have some kind of query language that lets you declaratively identify views on the screen. You can do things like waiting for particular elements, waiting for them to appear or disappear. Things like saying, I want to wait until the spinner is missing. Here's some examples in C# from Summer and UI test. And you want to generate screenshots for reporting purposes, either for manual inspection or for automated analysis. And then, of course, you need to be able to launch apps, install apps, and so on. Now, some tools actually go beyond what humans can do. So they will allow you to kind of run low-level APIs, for instance, to simulate the location of the user. So you could write a test saying, given I'm in Orlando, when I do these things, this thing should happen. For instance, when I'm in Orlando, I should see these banks or these gas stations. And that's a lot faster than actually going to Orlando and testing your application. So in Test Cloud, we support these tools, Xamarin UI Test, write tests in C#, run them with NUnit from inside Visual Studio, Xamarin Studio. We support SpecFlow if you're using that. There's Calabash, writing tests in Ruby, running them with Cucumber. Run them from Ruby Mine or from the command line. And there's Appium. It's kind of a newer player on the block. And with Appium, the idea is we already did UI testing. It's called Selenium. You know, we already have those APIs. So this lets you leverage, if you have people that are already used to using Selenium, lets them leverage their skills. And because there are already Selenium clients for a number of languages, then you can use these languages. The kind of the benefit is this flexibility, but the cost is there's kind of an impedance mismatch between the language you're using when you're testing web browsers, so the APIs, and when you're testing mobile apps. So things like clicking or the location bar, it doesn't really make sense for a mobile app. But it's a trade-off, and it depends on your organization, what you want to use. Now, of course, Xamarin Test Cloud. I'm sure you all know about it by now. But you can think of it as two things. First of all, it's a solution to the problem of having hundreds of devices lying around the office with their batteries drained or someone stealing them. So get that hosted instead. But maybe more importantly, it's a fully automated automation infrastructure. So you can submit with one command your application binary, your application test scripts, the DLLs, to Test Cloud, and it's then Test Cloud's responsibility to schedule those executions in parallel on the devices you've selected and run that and report back. So it's extremely easy. You don't have to build up an execution, test execution infrastructure yourself because it's handled by Test Cloud. And if you're thinking about building one yourself, I want to say don't. Please don't. You're going to set yourself on fire or die from stress. I've been doing this for 4 years now, and I can tell you it is hard work. And you don't want to do it. You may think it's easy. You just get some servers, plug in some devices, there you go. But it's not. You have to deal with things like this. You have to deal with operating system versions updating, instability of Android devices, execution infrastructure. So trust me, you don't want to go down this path. All right. So let's look at how easy you can, how easily you can set up a basic CI pipeline using Visual Studio Team Services in the cloud. Now, you saw a bit of this in the keynote, but I want to show you this for real, in the sense that it's a real application, it's live, it's running now, and it was used by a real team, the people who built this My Driving application. So we jump. Actually, I did want to run the test first. Let me just do that so you can see it. So in this application, you remember there were settings in here to change to the metric system. Now I've written a small test using Xamarin UI test that's called settings test. Now, this is using the NUnit framework. You can see that here. And it's deriving from a class just called abstract setup, which kind of is a boilerplate thing. That's saying, this is a cross-platform test. I'm going to run it on Android and iOS. And before each test, I want to run this boilerplate, which is basically just launching the application and logging in via the skip authentication button on the login page. So the login page object is an abstraction that encapsulates this first page you see. It's using something called the page object pattern that we recommend. So how do I skip auth? Well, it's extremely simple. If you remember, the button just had the text skip auth. So we just do app.tab skip auth, and we're there. Now, this talk isn't about UI test itself. We have other talks on that online. Or you can come talk to me or the automation station here. But I want to get into the cloud, so to speak. So let's kind of run this so you can see what it looks like. So we're going to reset the simulator and relaunch it so your application is in a clean state. When we start, we're going to see what it looks like. And in fact, let's have the unit tests visible here as we're running. So we're launching, waiting for this button, skip auth. We're going to tap it, wait for the map to load, run into our past trips, and then, no, profile settings, and then switch over to use a proper system, like liters and kilometers. So actually, what I like to do here is I like to race iOS and Android. So the IDE can only run one test at a time. So I like to kick off Android and iOS. They're running the same test at the same time. Who do you think is going to win? Any bets? iOS? Who's on Android? Let's see. It's catching up. iOS got a head start here. It's done. Android caught up. So there's a bit of slowness in the iOS simulator that we have to deal with. All right. So now the cloud. So this is VSTS set up for this project. It has kind of a dashboard of links into Huggy app. And I'm going to look at the iOS app for my driving. So I've set up a continuous deployment pipeline here that's just for Evolve. So I have a branch. And every time I push to this branch, I'm going to get a build of code from that branch. So if we go into here, we get to see how this is configured. So there's kind of some application-specific stuff here. And then our basic steps, like command line, remove Xamarin credentials, add them, restore components, restore NuGet packages, build the application. And for each of these, you can click into them and configure them. But it's fairly lightweight, because you're just pointing at a solution that you want to build, and possibly a configuration. Then you want to package this up, give it a name for the IPA file, specify a provisioning profile. And then there's a built-in step for running tests in Xamarin Test Cloud and waiting for the results. So it's picketing out here an IPA file, a DSIM file, so that if there's a crash, we can symbolicate the crash and give you the stack trace. Then you have to supply a key and a username for a Xamarin Test Cloud and a set of devices you're going to run on. So you're going to connect this to a repository. And in fact, this My Driving app is completely open source. It's here on Azure Samples. So you can go and download this, play with it, set it up yourself in VSTS. Even the cloud parts are the Azure parts are also open source. Back here, then you're going to set up a trigger that's targeting a particular branch. So you see there are a bunch of other targets over here, or build definitions over here, which are targeting feature branches, master branch, and there's a regression one too. Variables, you could put in secret things here, like my XTC key. I'm not going to show you that, because you're going to overload the cloud with all your tests. And device selection here. Finally, you have to run the builds of your iOS app on a Mac. And for that, I've been using Mac in Cloud, which is a hosted Mac. So you can go and provision that from online and then connect it to VSTS. And you have your build server without having to have a Mac in your existing CI infrastructure. All right, so let's look at the builds. Oh, let's look at completed here and refresh. So if you remember that change I did just before, where I changed the color of the background into black, well, while I was talking, that thing built in the cloud, submitted the test to Xamarin Test Cloud, and published the results here. So you can see if you go in here, can you notice this? The background's black. That's the change I made. And you're running the tests on all the supported versions of iOS that this application supports, iOS 9.0, 9.1, 9.2, and 9.2 on a different device, 9.3 and 9.3 on a different device, iPod Touch and iPhone 6. And this was within 10 minutes of me making a change. If it were to fail, I would have gotten a notification. I would go fix the problem. I think this is really kind of powerful and compelling. Now, just one last thing before I take questions. I want to leave a couple of minutes for questions for you guys, which is the part I was talking about with EC distribution for manual testing. So let me just mirror this. Hey. So this is what I wanted. So using Hockey app, changes you make are as easy as pushing a button to install. So make it easy for your manual testers. You see it's done downloading. Assuming the hotel Wi-Fi is working here. This one is on wire, so he's better off. But you get the point. It's one click, and you have distribution for manual testing. All right. Two more things. There's this last part of the pipeline, right, where you're going to submit to Apple, generate screenshots for iTunes, manage metadata like release notes and category. There's an interesting tool called Fastlane. I don't know if you've heard about it. But what it does, it completely automates that part of the procedure. So the screenshot on the slide here was from an application where the guy needed to generate screenshots in different languages on different devices every time there was a release to the App Store. And it took a lot of time. So with this tooling here, he was able to automate that process completely. But not only that, you can also automate the bit where you're uploading to iTunes and the part where your metadata, which actually lives with Apple. Well, with this tool, you can manage that metadata inside your Git repo and make changes to it and version control it. So it's really, really powerful. You can even get an HTML preview of that data, that view as you're going to see it inside App Store, which is something you can't actually do otherwise. You just submit it, you see if it's looking good. So I recommend having a look at this. It's kind of a bit of a hack because you're not supposed to do this, but still very powerful. So I want to end this with this quote, and you just have to read the last one, which is, whenever you have an opportunity to submit to Apple, you should have something to submit. Questions, please. And there's a mic, by the way, so if you do have a question, you should use the mic.
Yes. How easy was it to set up Mac and Cloud? As I remember, it was a process of getting profiles from Xamarin, sending them to Mac and Cloud, and return them. And how is it nowadays?
Yeah, I didn't set this up myself, but you should go talk to James. He set it up. Basically, what you need to do is, it's a Mac. You need to install Xcode, because you're going to build apps. And then VSTS comes with a very nice script for installing the build agent, which is like a one-liner, and then it interactively asks you what's your username, what's your password. I set it up on my own machine, which already had Xcode, and it was a minute. It was nothing.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Are there university training classes available online for setting up this whole process, or?
Training for continuous delivery? We don't actually, but it's a very good idea. So we have, via Xamarin University, we have trainings on using UI test. But actually, it's a good idea to do a full class on, OK, let's go from zero to continuous delivery pipeline for your team. But it's easy. Like I just showed you what it takes. That's it. If you enable Test Cloud, VSTS, Mac and Cloud, or use a local Mac, you're there. You've got that basic pipeline. There's another one here.
We use TFS for checking in code, but we also use Team City for our deployment and for builds. Is there a way for us to be able to implement this continuous integration in Team City?
Yes. So what I showed you, the idea with that was, let's go from someone who has nothing, like no CI infrastructure, and let's take them from zero to one, so to speak, to get a continuous deployment pipeline up. Now, you can use any CI server, Jenkins, TFS, Team City, anything you want. I'm assuming you're talking about the Test Cloud bit.
Yeah.
Because submission of a test to Test Cloud is a one-liner. So all you need is your application and your tests. You're good to go. So any tool you want. This just has built-in easy integration.
And what about the implementation with the Hockey app?
Implementation with Hockey app, that's an API. Yeah.
OK.
Anyone else? There's one there in the middle.
Excuse me, guys. Sorry. I need to do this here.
Hi.
Hi.
In our pipeline, we use Calabash and Cucumber to automate UI tests, no? and we wrote test cross-platform. But with the Xamarin UI test, it's possible to do it, or we must wrote test by platform.
Yeah, so I think you're asking about cross-platform testing. Can you do that with Calabash? Can you do it with UI tests? And the answer is yes, you can. But if you're building an application that's the same application, like the UI is the same, say it's forms, then it's easy, right? Because it's the same thing. You make sure you add IDs. Your tests can be identical. But most of the time, you're customizing your views. You want specific iOS look on iOS, and you want a specific Android. In that case, you need to be a bit clever. So you need to make sure that you abstract, so this page object pattern I was talking about, abstract out the actions that you're going to do, like I'm going to skip auth, then I'm going to go to settings, then I'm going to switch. All of that logic can be reused, but the specifics you're putting into page object method implementations. And you could do that. It's just a question of getting the architecture right up front. It's like building a Xamarin app. You have to get the architecture right up front. Then you can do very good code sharing. And it's the same for Calabash, UI test, Appium, all those tools. OK, I'm 1 minute over time. I'm very happy to talk to anyone here. So please do come and talk to me. And thanks so much for listening, guys.